Attention to Psalm 23, a psalm that I know none of you are real familiar with. Probably one of the most familiar psalms, I guess, in the Bible to many. Psalm 23, and the reason I chose this passage of Scripture for our time this morning is, I hope you remember, last week we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, and we stated that remembering the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ produces gratitude, I think. It produces gratitude for what it has provided for us. And then we celebrated the communion table. We gathered around the communion table after that time in the Word of God, remembering with gratitude the sacrifice that He made for us in the way that He prescribed. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, we saw that Christ is our example, and He is also our shepherd. And we saw that He laid down His life for the wandering sheep, and He brought the wandering sheep back to Himself. So having been reminded of that last week, having been reminded that we are like sheep, indeed going astray, not only did we see that from Peter, but we also saw that echoed in Isaiah 53, in which he referred to or alluded to that in those verses, as we saw last week. So having been reminded of that, that we are sheep going astray, we have returned now to the shepherd and to the overseer of our souls. That's how Peter ended the passage that we looked at last week. So being mindful of that and looking at that last week, I think it is fitting that we look at Psalm 23 together this morning, where we see what it means to live under the care of the Good Shepherd Himself, who restores, who guides, who protects, and who provides for His flock. So let's read that psalm together. Psalm 23 is a psalm of David, of course, and the Word of God says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word this morning. Now, when you think of Psalm 23, what's typically the context that you hear that psalm read in?
VBS?
Now, that one I wasn't expecting, but you're right. You're right. What are some other contexts? A funeral. That's what I was thinking of more often than not. And I've officiated quite a few funerals in my time in ministry. And typically, Psalm 23 is requested. That was even read at my grandmother's funeral back in 2019. So sure, this is a psalm that, and rightly so, is read in a lot of funerals and is heard in a lot of funerals. But I think that this psalm, well, I don't think this, I know this, this psalm isn't just for funerals. This psalm is for everyday living, especially as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our focus this morning, as we look at this very familiar psalm, is that we have a good shepherd who leads and provides for us. And that's our outline. We see a leading shepherd in the first four verses, a leading shepherd. And then we see the providing shepherd in verses 5 through 6, the providing shepherd. So let's take a look at the leading shepherd as we look at these first four verses. The Lord is my shepherd. We know this very well. And as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know this very well. And we find several passages in the Old Testament that show us that the Lord Himself views Himself as the shepherd of His people. And we have many examples. If you have a cross-reference system in your Bible, If you look at the cross references in Psalm 23, you're going to see a number of Old Testament passages listed there that talk elsewhere about the Lord, God Himself, being a shepherd. But one that I think of often and I have in my notes is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, where we find there, "He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young." So the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament identifies Himself as this shepherd, as the shepherd in Psalm 23, as the shepherd in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He is that good shepherd, personified. And take a look with me at John chapter 10. Keep your thumb in Psalm 23 and jump over to John chapter 10. I want to read some verses there where the Lord Jesus Christ makes this very clear. Picking up in verse 11, John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11, Jesus says there, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and what does he do? He leaves the sheep. He leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." Why does he flee? Verse 13, "He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus says, "That's not me. That's not who I am." Then in verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." A hired hand isn't going to do that. Verse 16, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." By the way, I believe that's me. I believe that's you. That's the Gentiles, right? The sheep that are not of that fold. Verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me." Why? "Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." So throughout the New Testament, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is identified as the shepherd. In our passage here in John chapter 10, he's identified as the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13, which we'll reference at the end of our time together, he is called the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, he is called the chief shepherd. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And he is the chief shepherd. And because the Lord was David's shepherd, his needs were met. And I know you know this, especially if you've been a Christian for any length of time. If the Lord is your shepherd, he will take care of you. He will take care of your needs. He will provide for you as you are a sheep in his flock. Before I mention that, let me ask you. How would you describe sheep? Oh, Becky, come on. We're in church, for heaven's sakes. How could you say that? The word that I had was stupid, but dumb is worse. No. Katie? Do you blame him? Yeah. Yeah. They all go the wrong way. That's right. That's right. Well, you guys hit all the nails on the head that I was going to say. Anything else? That's true. Robert Alden, I thought I'd give some authority to this. He described sheep as among the most helpless and stupid of animals. They desperately need guidance and assistance. And what does the Word of God call us? Sheep. Sheep. And he goes on to say, probably the reason God's people are likened to sheep. I was not going to mention this, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it. And if I get in trouble, it's Jill's fault because she's prompting me here. I love coffee. And if I go to, sometimes I'll go to Starbucks. Starbucks is fine. They're overpriced. I agree. So I'll take my wife's credit card to buy myself the coffee. But if I can hit a local coffee shop, hey, McDonald's coffee is great too. I can get it for a buck. And if I have my dad with me, I can get a senior discount. Although I think I might be really close to that now too. But all that to say, did you hear about Starbucks in the news? About this new teddy bear glass that they were selling for Christmas? Almost every Christmas they come up with some new cup for the Christmas season. Sometimes it's just a plastic cheap cup. But this year it was a teddy bear that kind of looks like the honey bear that you get, which I actually have one. Put a little honey in my coffee sometimes in the morning. And that's what this was supposed to look like, is a teddy bear with a lid on it. And then you bought it and you would fill it up with coffee, whatever. It was $30 and it was glass. So I didn't know anything about it until I found out that people were going there the night before, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, to wait to get this. And of course, I'm sure it was a calculated decision to make them scarce, to give them a limited supply in each of these stores. And of course, it's all over social media. These people waited in line, kind of like sheep, and I won't go any farther than that, to get this cup that Starbucks knew full well that they were going to have a limited run, more than likely. Well, to get $30 out of them. And if they don't get it, either way, they were in the store, maybe they bought something, and we got a little free publicity. But obviously it didn't work. None of you guys knew about it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we do kind of follow these dumb trends. And Christians are not exempt from that. And Jesus knows that, right? And he goes, you guys are sheep, and you guys need a shepherd, not a hired hand. And a lot of times, we follow a hired hand to our doom, to our disaster. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd, just like Katie said. They're too dumb. They constantly need attention. They need a leader. Sheep are totally dependent on that shepherd for direction. For direction, for health, for food, for water, for protection, the list goes on and on. So the Lord is our shepherd. And note David's confidence back in Psalm 23. Note David's confidence in the fact that the Lord is his shepherd. He's confident of that relationship that he has with the shepherd. He knows that the Lord is shepherding over his life in every way. And what was David before he became a warrior and a king? He was a shepherd, right? So he knows about this. He knows about the importance of a shepherd for his flock. And he says this in the present tense. Not the Lord was my shepherd. Not the Lord will be my shepherd. He says right now, the Lord is my shepherd. And that was the case for David. And if you're in Christ this morning, that's the case for you as well. The Lord is your good shepherd presently, right now. And we can say that with confidence with David, that the Lord is my shepherd. Even now, you and I as his followers are under the great pastoral care of the great I am. So I hope all of us can say here this morning that the Lord is my shepherd. And the way to become one of his sheep, the way to enter into his flock, is to hear what he has declared about himself and believe it by following him. And as we talked last week, at the core of what Jesus taught is the cross. At the core of what Jesus came to do is the cross, where he took the penalty for the sins of his sheep. And we must believe on him. And we must believe in him as our sacrificial substitute, who died on the cross for our sins, before we can know him as our good shepherd. We must know that truth and believe that truth and follow that truth before we can become a part of his flock. So if you know the Savior by trusting in him, by trusting in what he has done for you, then you can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. And continuing in verse 1, I shall not want. I read a long time ago that a little girl had learned Psalm 23 in her Sunday school class, but she slightly misquoted it. She said, the Lord is my shepherd, I've got all I want. I've got all I want. But even though it was slightly misquoted, she isn't necessarily wrong. If we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our good shepherd, then we can truly say, I've got all that I want. And what we mean is we won't lack anything that we need, and we have no need to worry. And that's one that I've got to work on a lot. Ultimately, you and I, as followers of Christ, as flock, as sheep in his flock, the agricultural terminology escapes me sometimes, we have nothing to really ultimately be worried about or to be anxious about. Psalm 84:11, the verse that we read in our call to worship this morning, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now note that David is indeed speaking of needs. He's speaking of the needs that the sheep might have. And no doubt this reminds us of the word that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. Take a look with me at Matthew chapter 6. Again, a passage that I'm sure you know very well. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, the Lord Jesus Christ says there, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? So after church this morning, I don't want you guys saying, what do we do for lunch, right? That Jesus says, don't do that. No, I'm kidding. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Verse 32, he says, the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So in light of all of that that he just told us in these few verses in Matthew chapter 6, he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I don't need to worry. I don't need to be anxious. Ultimately, he's going to take care of me. What are some examples that David gives us in this psalm? Specifically, of the blessings that the shepherd leads his sheep to. Well, the first we see is in verse 2. He leads us to what I call restful refreshment. Restful refreshment. Back to Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now, sheep must have grass and water to live, right? They need that. And it's up to the shepherd to provide that for them, to lead them to the good grass, to lead them to the pleasant waters, to the still waters. And as the shepherd leads sheep to fresh grass for feeding, so the Lord Jesus Christ himself leads his people. I've read that sheep will not lie down until they've eaten enough, like most people, right? Then they will contently lie down and chew their cud. God's word is our green pastures. God's word is the pastures that he leads us to. He has provided his word for us, for his sheep. And it's been suggested that perhaps the main reason that we as God's people lack contentment is because we don't regularly feed from the green pastures of God's word. What do we typically fill ourselves with instead? What do we typically fill our minds with instead of God's word? The media, junk, the news. Social media is a big thing now, right? It's everywhere. Everyone's on it. It's constantly swiping through things, constantly filling our minds with things other than the word of God. When I was a kid, TV was the great evil, right? Limit your time with TV. Oh, if TV was our only problem now, right? Now we're bombarded by everything, it seems like, in the palm of our hand, no matter where we're at. And again, not all that is bad. But if it is consistently taking us away from our priority of spending time with God in His Word, then we are going to be filled with anxiety. We are going to be filled with concern. And folks, we will not be content. We will not be content because we are not filling our minds with the green pastures of God's Word. Instead, we're filling our minds with, I think Nancy said it, junk, with junk, right? And that ultimately is not going to give us fulfillment and contentment that we so desire. Sheep cannot be rested, and sheep cannot be refreshed if they are thirsty. Jesus, our good shepherd, cried out in John chapter 7, verse 37, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In the next verse, in John chapter 7, verse 39, John explains that Jesus was speaking of who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit whom Jesus would give to those who believe. So we have the green pastures of God's Word, and we have the still waters, if you will, of the Spirit of God that brings that nourishment and that refreshment. Now, what is the ministry of the Spirit of God in the lives of the sheep who follow the Good Shepherd? And how does He provide that rest and refreshment? Well, think of the ministry of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. Think of what the Spirit of God does for us. And some things that I've listed here, and obviously this is not an exhaustive list, but we are born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He indwells every believer. We find that in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, and in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. The Spirit of God seals us until the day of redemption, and He produces the fruit of the Spirit in our life, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. He gives us hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, right? Biblical hope, not worldly hope. And He prays for us. And He gives us help and comfort. He gives us spiritual gifts, right? The gifts that we use in the church to build one another up, that's not natural gifts that we have. Those are supernatural gifts that the Spirit of God gives to every believer. And it's been said, with such a full provision of living water from our good shepherd, why do we try to quench our thirst with the polluted, broken cisterns of our world? Again, we're so good at trying to find substitutes in our world and not going to the real thing, the green pastures of God's Word and the living water of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit allows us to have that rest, to have that refreshment by our Good Shepherd. So the first blessing that we see is restful refreshment. The second blessing, as we move to verse 3, is restoration to righteousness. Restoration to righteousness. Verse 3, David writes, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." David knew the work that the Holy Spirit did in his heart and life. When he confessed and he repented of his sins, he experienced cleansing, renewal, and restoration from the Spirit of God Himself. In Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, he prays, "Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." The Good Shepherd brings restoration. The Good Shepherd brings revival. The Good Shepherd brings forgiveness. So this is a good time to ask ourselves this morning, as we're talking about restoration, repentance, forgiveness of sins. Do we have unconfessed sin in our life currently? do we presently have sin in our life that we're tolerating, that we're putting up with, and sin that we haven't brought before the throne of grace? Maybe you realize that you don't have this renewal that the shepherd brings, this refreshment that the shepherd brings. And that's probably because we have been satisfied with putting up with certain sin patterns in our life. If this is us, we can find that refreshment. We can find that restoration that David talks about in this psalm by bringing these sins before the throne of grace, confessing these sins, repenting of these sins, and asking the Lord to forgive us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, John writes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He brings that restoration to us. Our shepherd restores. He brings us back to him, as Peter said last week in 1 Peter chapter 2. He leads us into those paths of righteousness. David saw that the Lord was always guiding him in those choices that he made for his life, and that the Lord always led him to do those things that were holy and righteous. And we need our shepherd's leading if we're going to follow and not stray from him. Last week we mentioned Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We stray when we sin, but our shepherd leads us into righteous paths for his name's sake. And when we stray, we can always come back. And that's the beauty of following the Good Shepherd. If we stray off the path, he's there. If we stray off the path, he'll grab us. He'll bring restoration to us. He is, in fact, our Good Shepherd. And the Lord will take us down paths that, even though it may not seem like it at the time, will ultimately be good for us and will bring him the most glory. The third blessing our shepherd leads us to is protection. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now notice this subtle change here as we come to verse 4. He goes from he in verses 1 through 3 to you in verses 4 through 5. To David, his shepherd, even now becomes more personal to him. He describes the shepherd's ability to protect his sheep in those moments of danger. James Montgomery Boyce wrote, it's important to note that the valley of the shadow of death is as much God's right path for us as the green pastures, which lie beside the still waters. That is, the Christian life is not always tranquil, nor, as we say, a mountaintop experience. God gives us those valleys as well. It's in the valleys where there are trials and dangers, where there are trials and dangers, that we develop character. We are never so conscious of the presence of Christ as when we pass through life's valleys. And I think it's safe to assume that most, if not all of us here this morning, can give a hearty amen to that. We've all been through these valleys. We may be going through one right now. And it's even then that we experience the presence of our Good Shepherd, even more so because ultimately we're depending on him more than we typically do when things are going well for us, right? And I'm guilty of that. When things are somewhat smooth sailing from time to time, it's like, oh, I've got this. But then when things start to get bumpy and there's a little bit of turbulence, oh Lord, why are you doing this to me, right? Now, what we see is when we go through these difficult circumstances and we rest fully in the arms of our Good Shepherd, that's when we really sense his leading, his protecting, his guidance all the more. Now, you may be facing one of those dark valleys right now. It may seem dangerous, and you may be wondering right now if you're going to be getting through that, recovering from surgery, going through a health situation. People and individuals and situations that we have been praying for these past few weeks. But David reminds us that our Good Shepherd is with us all the way through that. He's with us as we walk through those valleys. And he goes, therefore, you don't need to fear. You don't need to be scared. And even in this day and age in which we live now, presently, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. I think we could all say amen to that. There's a lot of uncertainty. But we have one certainty, is that our Good Shepherd is with us, that he is present with us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, what does Jesus say there? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Good times, bad times, he is there. And it's important for us to see that David does not say that we go through the valley of death. You notice that? What does he say? The shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death. The Christian walks through the shadow of death, but not through death itself. Because for us, to be absent from the body, Paul says, is to be what? Present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And with his rod, the shepherd defends the sheep from their enemies. And with his staff or shepherd's crook, he directs and he cares for us. He cares for his sheep. So it's no wonder that David could rightly declare that he cares for us. Our Good Shepherd cares for us. We have a Good Shepherd who leads and provides. That brings us to our second point of our Good Shepherd this morning from verses 5 through 6. We have a providing shepherd. Our shepherd provides for our needs, yes, even in the presence of our enemies. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, as we mentioned last week in 1 Peter chapter 2, as Peter was talking about conflicts and persecutions that we face, and in other places that we've been in the Bible as well, the Bible is clear that the Christian life is not free from conflict and potential enemies. We will encounter that. From time to time, we will encounter those people and those situations from time to time. But the Good Shepherd takes care of his own, even in the midst of all that, by preparing a table for them in the presence of the enemies. And on that table are spread out all the spiritual blessings which Christ has purchased for you and I by his precious blood. Our shepherd also takes care of us in that he anoints our head with oil. Shepherds anoint their sheep with oil. Why? Medicinal reasons, right? To soothe their scratches or their wounds. And knowing sheep, they're probably bumping into things along the way, and they're getting bruised up, they're getting banged up, they're getting beat up. And so the shepherd has his oil there to help soothe those scrapes and scratches. And it's interesting in the Bible, oil is often the picture of the Holy Spirit. We see several indications of that in the Old Testament, such as 1 Samuel chapter 16 and Zechariah chapter 4. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be our comforter, is to be our helper. And as the oil soothes the wounds and the scratches of the sheep and comforts them, the Holy Spirit brings that comfort and help to us. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 18, as Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Spirit to his disciples, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I, Jesus, will not leave you comfortless. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, the Spirit helps us in all of our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, what does he do? He intercedes for us. He intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. So in view of the shepherd's provision of the table and the oil, David says that his cup overflows. His coffee cup overflows. Just seeing if you're still awake. His cup overflows. So our shepherd provides the way for us. Our shepherd provides the way for his sheep all the way home. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One of my favorite commentators of times past is H.A. Ironside, and he says that goodness and mercy are the two sheepdogs that help keep the sheep where they belong. That's a wonderful picture, isn't it? You know, life is full of changes. I've gone through a lot of situational changes over the past 5 years. I've seen changes with my kids in school, where they live, changes in job, all these changes. And you know that, you know it as well, whether you're moving to different places to live or different situations of change, life is full of changes. We can be dwelling in green pastures one moment. We can be by the still waters another and going through those paths of righteousness to valleys of deep darkness, to fears, and then to comfort, to exaltation, to plenty, and to eternity. That's life, right? Sometimes we have these, as we said earlier, these so-called mountaintop experiences. Sometimes we're down here in the valley. Sometimes we're down here a little longer than we want to be. But through it all, the shepherd is leading us. The shepherd is guiding us. These are the changes that we experience throughout all of our lives. Yet, for the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, goodness and mercy pursues us, those sheepdogs, if you will. Goodness and mercy pursues us throughout our journey in this life. And when our journey in this life is over, our providing shepherd will guide us into our eternal home that he has prepared for us. So we have a good shepherd who leads and provides. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed our good shepherd. And I pray that he would lead us in paths of righteousness. And we thank you for meeting our needs. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to pursue us with your goodness and mercy. And I pray that you would show us how to live for you right now, presently. And we thank you for making us the sheep of your flock. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Would you stand as we sing this closing song?